doesn't matter how many times I read over Romans 8, you need this all the time because of the clouding that happens, because of the hardship that happens. And really what Romans 8 is doing for us tonight is it's challenging how we view things. It's challenging how we think through things. It's challenging what we think about the path to glory, how we are to view it. And what we have before us tonight is God answering this dilemma. We have before us the Lord showing us how we are to think through this. And so it's not always easy to hear when you're going through it, but it sure is a great message to prepare you for what is to come.
The unconquerable love of God. Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Romans chapter 8 as we continue to mine these amazing truths of God's love and grace in Christ. Join us as we explore His love. Here's Pastor Chris.
Tonight we're turning in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we will read verses 28 to the end of the chapter, which is a conclusion to everything that we have been building on in Romans 8. And tonight, this is a beautiful section of summary and encouragement for the Christian as he anticipates the future glory, but for the present has to go through many trials and sufferings. Romans 8, beginning at verse 28, and we will read 28 to the end of the chapter. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May the Lord bless tonight the hearing of His word. The Apostle Paul addressed a certain dilemma about the Christian life, something he himself had to wrestle through and think a lot about, when he suffered and faced an ongoing affliction, even in his own body. And he didn't always understand why it had to be that way. In 2 Corinthians 11, he describes that something had happened to him. And before he describes what we all know as this thorn in the flesh, he describes being caught up into paradise, and he saw things that were inexpressible with words. It was a real moment. He saw the glory, the glimpse of the future glory. And then he says, ultimately, that it wouldn't be helpful for you if I went around telling you about that. Unless I even am exalted above measure by the abundance of getting a revelation like that, and people start thinking of me as some kind of super apostle, he then goes on to describe, immediately after this glory, being given a thorn in the flesh. He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment him. I've always been moved by that. Why him? Why that? I really don't know what it is, neither do you. And it's probably good that we don't. Because the larger point here is that the Apostle Paul himself, having been given so much from glory to suffering, is being set forth as an example, because he himself had to cry out to the Lord three times in prayer. I got on my knees and I prayed to him and I cried out, take it away. The burden is just too great. And the Lord did not do it. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Whatever glory that he had seen, whatever he had seen in being caught up into this third heaven, everything had become clouded in this thorn in the flesh. And I believe this is to be an example for us, but to ultimately remind struggling Christians that the glory is to come, that the glory is not yet. And what we find is that the Lord, even for the great apostle, didn't take it away, so that we would have a look at this and think about what the Lord is training us, how the Lord is training us, what he is doing in the interim, and to have us think about why this life is often so hard for us. We don't really get that. It doesn't matter how many times I read over Romans 8. You need this all the time because of the clouding that happens, because of the hardship that happens. And really what Romans 8 is doing for us tonight is it's challenging how we view things. It's challenging how we think through things. It's challenging what we think about the path to glory, how we are to view it, how we are to view, to add to that, sorrow, how we are to view suffering and trial and affliction and hardship. And in all of that, what does that even say about God? What does that say about us? And what does it say about the relationship between the two? Does it leave things in question? The biggest burden is, do things that happen in the interim, do the hardships, the failures, the trials, the afflictions, the awful things that happen along the way, do those things at all affect the outcome? That's a big question. Calvin says that when we look at things from our own judgment, when we're going through hardship, it often seems that God doesn't hear our prayers. The circumstance never changes. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. The sorrow seems to continue. When does this end? When does this get over? And if that's the case, I've posed from this pulpit before, that often confuses Christians so that they become disillusioned about the Christian life. And they think through this all, well, maybe this is evidence of God's absence. I hope it turns out well in the end. That it? And what we have before us tonight is God answering this dilemma. We have before us the Lord showing us how we are to think through this. And so, it's not always easy to hear when you're going through it, but it sure is a great message to prepare you for what is to come. And the God is answering for us the great dilemma of how we are to think, how we are to view the hard path that is in front of us. And I believe that the issue in Romans 8 at the very end of this is, can anything along the way change God's eternal plan for us? For his people, for his elect. I want you to think for a minute of what Romans 8 has presented to us as a summary here about the whole picture. And this has been a glorious passage, chapter to show us the whole picture of things. I mean, think of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we said that could only be so if the doctrine of justification were so, because God is telling us the reason that there is no more wrath for us is because the penalty has already been paid. And those who have come to Christ and believed in him, the Lord has told us it's already been dealt with. He's already suffered. He's already died. He is risen again, and his promises are yes and amen. There's no wrath. It's done. And then he goes on in Romans 8 and he says, and you're free. You're not under the law. Romans 6 said that. You're under grace. You're set free from the law of sin and death. And in that definitive moment of your justification, you then too were given a gift. Think about this. The Holy Spirit obviously regenerating our hearts so that we're able to believe. But the whole picture being here, you've been given this gift along the way that is never taken from you. The Spirit dwells in you. You're not left alone to complete the work. He is bringing about, remember what he said, mortification of sin in your life. If by the Spirit you do this, you'll live. He's present for that. And he is ever working to bear witness with our spirit that we are sons. He's ever working to assure our hearts. He's ever working to strengthen us in our faith and in his gospel promises. And that secures for us the absolute assurance that one day we are going to glory. We are going to share in that glory. That glory that is coming is so wonderful. Verse 18, he said, nothing you go through in the present can compare with it. Nothing. The glory revealed will blaze forth. You shall be like Christ. You will have a brand new resurrected body. There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering. The former things will be done. Now, remember when you first grasped it. Remember when you first understood the Christian gospel. It's overwhelming. You're on cloud nine. This is a wonderful thing. When the gospel gets a hold of someone, it is the most exciting thing. Your joy is overwhelming. You understand it. You understand the gospel of free forgiveness. But what happens over time? You don't seem to feel that joy too much anymore, do you? And the twists and turns are hard. And in fact, you often say, I didn't know how hard this was going to be. I just didn't realize how hard this was really going to be. You ever felt that? If not, you will. Sometimes you can't even see out of the trench. And the glory that we have now in all of these gospel promises that encourage our hearts is all clouded by what is often a very discouraging and painful pathway that is set before us. And then we don't get the Christian life. Then the Christian life makes no sense to us. And it's even worse when you're in the dumps and you want to be spiritually renewed and you turn on TBN. Don't do that, by the way. But if you do turn on TBN, you're going to hear a bunch of guys tell you that something is wrong with you. Because you're not living the glory right now. And you don't have it all right now. And that something is wrong with you. And Paul is describing tonight something totally different. Paul is overturning that thinking. And he says three things to encourage us so that we don't lose heart. And the first thing that he's saying is the beautiful truth, God chose you for this. God chose you for this. Look at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So if you are blessed to love God, which we all know, no one ever first loved God. John tells us God first loved us and chose us so that we've responded to that love. Everything in this life, receiving that blessing then, can be viewed as working for good. Now, I'm not saying tonight everything that happens is good. And I'm not saying we ever see this in the middle of it. We always will. But the truth that's being communicated here is that he just told us that every single circumstance, every turning of every event, even those things that seem to be, as Calvin says, evil to us, he is working to bring about the accomplished goal. And I believe that Paul here has on his mind a lot of what happened throughout the history of God's people when you had the cries from the psalmists. And we hear in fulfillment how those cries are often answered. But when the cries of the psalmists were, how long, O Lord, or why, O Lord? And we see this all over the Psalms. These things were put there and inspired by the Lord. In whatever kind of affliction, we come to this now after the cross, and we hear the Lord telling us through his servant, all of it's working for good. All of it. And that is essentially what he's unpacking for the rest of this chapter. I want you to notice verse 29. Here's the first. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Think of how meaningful that is. God just said he set his love upon you. He had an intimate knowledge of you. He chose you in sovereign grace. He chose you with a purpose, Ephesians 1. But he chose you with a purpose of a certain kind of life that you would not just attain to the glory, but there's even a goal in the present. He chose you in the present for a life that would be conformed to the image of his son. And what he's saying here, and that's why notice how election, predestination, all of this is rooted in this teaching. He is saying here, suffering and hardship is not something that just happens. It's not something that arbitrarily God is doing. It's not something that we just sit back and look at and think happened by chance. Since we're adopted sons, the suffering's appointed. And this was all over the New Testament. Think of Paul in writing to the church in Philippi. And I love this verse. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe. So your faith was a gift. Your faith was appointed. It was granted not only that you believe, but also that you suffer for his name's sake. Same sentence, faith and suffering. Timothy struggled with that. Timothy struggled with regard to the ministry because it was so hard. And you don't realize that this about ministry going in. You don't realize. You think everyone's just going to love everything you say. Not true. And Paul had to tell Timothy, therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. Notice what he connects with this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us when in Christ Jesus before time began. And that so drove the apostle that he would go on and say that the whole life I now live, I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That has a huge bearing on life, doesn't it? Now, what is the great struggle that we have as we go forward? I don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. Remember, I mentioned Martin Lloyd-Jones called this the tyranny of the circumstance. And I love that description. That's absolutely right. The tyranny of our circumstances. The hardest thing about it is we know our own weakness. We know our own frailty. Paul had just got done telling us in Romans 7 that the things that we don't even want to do, we keep on doing. Our hearts often condemn us. We fear. And the greatest fear being, I may not make it. You've had it. In the end, when it's all said and done, will I really be there? Earthly speaking, we often feel like giving up. You can't read the Old Testament prophets without seeing them as an example. Jeremiah stands out to me. Jeremiah was called with this great calling, and it's fascinating in chapter 20 that he looks at the Lord in a private prayer closet. I'll preach on this one day. And he says, you deceived me. And that's the word. And I'm amazed the Lord inspired it. You deceived me about what the ministry would be. And you know what? I'm done. I'm walking away from it. I'm not speaking in your name anymore. And then in the next verse he's saying, but you prevailed, and I'm going to speak. Notice the burden. Notice the hardship. When Asaph said in Psalm 73, my feet had almost slipped, what he was saying was, I about walked away from this whole thing. And that's how hard and how real the discouragements can be. And we look back and we think, I didn't have that at one time. I used to go with a joyful feast to the house of the Lord. I used to have a real joy and contentment in the gospel. And I don't know where it is. The present darkness has blinded me. And then you have these verses of Jesus saying, there is the reality in the kingdom that some have no root in themselves, and because of tribulation and persecution because of the word, they only endure a little while, and they're out of here. And you think, how in the world, if that's the case, can I be certain? Will I really make it? Well, I want you to see tonight how the apostle answers that. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Let me give you an equivalent to that. He who began the good work in you will see it to completion. Notice what he said. God predestined. God decided beforehand those whom he would bless with this life that would be conformed to the image of his son. And that's the way to look at predestination. That's the proper way to look at election. I always hear on the radio, and be careful of those radio guys, by the way. But I always hear on the radio, and I just heard it last week, some guys stand up and say the classic line, God looked down the corridor of time to see who would choose him, and based on that sovereign choice, God chose him. And I say, you're a nut. Nobody would choose the kind of life that's being described here. Nobody would choose a life of suffering, because notice he's rooting the doctrine of election and predestination right in this. He predestined us to conformity to his son. And that changes how we look at everything with the doctrine of election. Why do I say that? When Jesus was giving calls to people to take up their cross and to follow, and I hear pastors beat people over the head with this hard, that they're not living radically enough, and they beat people over the head with this, using Jesus, take up your cross and follow. And what we see all over the Gospels is, if we're noticing and looking at it carefully, is no one had the ability in and of themselves to do it. It was complete radical commitment to him, in complete denial of oneself. And everyone made excuses. Well, I have to first go bury my father, and I got to first settle accounts. You know what Romans 8 just told you? God is absolutely committed, because he chose beforehand. He is committed to bring about the denial of yourself, which is really hard because we hold on to the self. He's committed to bring about the denial of the self through suffering. And it has to be, because pulling us away from us, killing the old sinful nature, is painful. And you would never choose it. You would never want it. All the false teachers are offering you something else. And they're saying you don't have to have that. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation, Romans 5, produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have, or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.